I'm going to read some verses that we've heard maybe two or three times today already. We want to read from 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. You won't have to turn up to it, I'll just read it to you. Verse 3, I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 all at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some have fallen asleep. That means fallen asleep in Christ. After that he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and last of all, says Paul, he was seen by me. Verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and you who believe, your faith is in vain. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now Christ is risen from the dead. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us. The historical, factual account of the Bible that the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead is fundamental. It's a fundamental doctrine of the true Christian faith. Every true Christian is of the knowledge and belief that they serve a risen Saviour, that they have come to faith in someone who is alive. The Bible says here that if the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus isn't true, if he's not raised, if his body simply disintegrated, then we are miserable. We who believe are miserable. You should pity us, because we've believed in vain and our faith is vain, and we're false witnesses of God, this passage tells us, that we just read. Our preaching's in vain, our faith's in vain. We're making God a liar. If we say that, we're false witnesses. And there's no hope for those who are saved. No hope for those who had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and have died. No hope. Now if that's all Christians have on this side of eternity, I tell you, there's no hope. We're miserable people, it says. And we're to be pitied more than any. But the Apostle Paul, this word here, this Bible, is the true word of God, let me tell you. Absolutely authentic. Straight from the mouth of God and the mind of God. So it doesn't get left there. The Lord moves the Apostle Paul to say this. In contrast to all these things, if Christ be not risen, he says, but. What a proclamation he makes. He can hardly contain himself. You can see him saying, but. What is Christ risen? Christ is raised from the dead. And he's the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first among innumerable, unfathomable, unfigurable numbers of believers who have died and who live today, who have put their faith and trust in him. He's the first of multi-millions and billions. You'll be amazed that you think you're in the minority, maybe in this country, but I tell you, in the world, and when we get to heaven, you'll be amazed at the myriads of people who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. All believers. And because he has risen, we will rise also. Because Jesus Christ lives, we will live. We who believe in him. You know, he's coming back. What does it say up there? I am the truth. It's the truth. Why would he not tell you the truth? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, if it wasn't true, I would have told you.
I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. He's coming back to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, are you saved today? Or should you be pitied? Because it does say that if we don't believe that Christ is raised from the dead and he's alive and able to save, you ought to be pitied. Now, I hope you've come along here this morning expecting to hear about the resurrection of Christ, because he is alive and he's able to save you. Are you going to be taken to heaven when he comes back? He's coming back for his own. He says that you might be where I am. He has a desire that all his people be with him. Now, are you counted in that? You might die before he comes, no one can tell. You have to be prepared. Don't leave it too late. Don't say next week or the next time I come to Bethany Hall, I'll put my faith and trust in Jesus. You have to do it now. Do you know the Lord Jesus says, his power on earth, he says the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. It's while you're on the earth. After that, it's far too late. So if you're going to be present with him one day, you have to put your faith and trust in him and be reunited with the Lord Jesus. And not only so, your soul will leave your body. When you've come to faith in Christ, your body will go into the earth. If the Lord hasn't come, and your soul will go to be with him forever with the Lord until he come, and your soul will be reunited with your body. Don't think for a minute the Lord is not able to raise ashes, because he is. He'll find every single one. You know, if you go way back to the beginning of the Bible, I'm watching that clock. If you go way back to the beginning of the Bible, he made man from the dust of the ground. Do you think he's not able to get the dust that is left of you? And not only will he give you a body, he'll give you a glorious body, like unto his own body of glory. He's coming back. But only those who have put their faith and trust in him for salvation. Only those who have asked him for forgiveness. Those who have looked at Calvary. You know, the Lord had to die and be buried before he could rise from the dead. He went to that cross bearing your sin and mine on his own body. And he took your sin away. But if you don't believe that, you are still burdened by your own sin. And listen, we can blame no one but ourselves. If we have to face God and accept the judgment for our own sin, and we don't accept that the Lord Jesus Christ has already done it. He accepted the judgment that God poured out in your sin. We heard about the darkness. 3 hours of darkness when God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. When the Lord Jesus paid for your sin and he paid for mine. He took the punishment that we deserved when God covered the land in darkness and laid on him your sin and mine. And listen, children. The Lord Jesus said, tell the children. He said, you encourage the children to come to me. Now listen, it doesn't matter your age. And don't you let any adult tell you that you don't need to be saved. Because I wish somebody had told me. Because a time will come when you might stop, someone else will take you away and try to discourage you from coming. And don't you let them. Don't you let anybody say to you, oh, don't go to Bethany today. Don't you let anybody say that to you. The Lord Jesus says, you tell the children they need to be saved. You tell the children to come to me. Encourage them to come. And he says, woe betide any man that discourages them. Eh? He says, see, anybody who discourages a child, they might as well have a stone round their neck and thrown into the river. I love to come and see you children. And you know that without me telling you. But I'd love to see you all saved. And that doesn't mean the older ones have any excuse. The older ones have no excuse. They know more about life than you do. They're without excuse. They know what it's like out there. And the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, he cried, "It's finished." What was finished? He didn't say, "I'm finished." The work was finished. He offered himself as a sacrifice to God for your sin, and when the darkness lifted, it was finished. You can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. This is a historical fact, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he cried, "Finished," 3 days in the tomb. They went to look for him. The children told us the tomb was empty. The Lord was risen. He was risen from the dead. Psalm 16 says, and it's the Lord himself speaking, not David the psalmist, and here's what he says, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades." You'll not leave my soul. I'm not going to your hell. You'll not leave this Holy One, and that's himself. You'll not leave the Holy One to see corruption. He's telling you. He's going to rise when he says that. His body couldn't corrupt because death had no hold on him. He was absolutely sinless and spotless and pure, and he took your sin. And that was how he was able to take it. It was possible for the Lord Jesus to defeat death because death had no hold on him. And he took your sin away. He was delivered for our sins. He was raised again, says the Bible, for our justification. That means just as if we never sinned. That means God can look upon you if you believe in the Lord Jesus, believe he died for your sin, was buried and he rose again. The very fact that he rose again means God accepted the fact that Jesus died for your sins and he can forgive you. And God will still be just. So you can be forgiven if you come to know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Saviour. So the Word of God absolutely attest to the fact. But it's attacked by people. The resurrection is attacked by folk. There's people who say, well, they really just swooned. There's a swoon theory. Do you think people don't teach that? They do. I know someone who teaches it. They say he fainted. That's not what the Bible says. He that believeth on him shall never perish. You know, we don't have to disprove anything. They say in the coolness of the tomb, he came round again. But he'd only fainted. Know what the Bible says? The Bible doesn't say Christ died. It doesn't say Christ died, but he only fainted. They say he died, but he only fainted. I don't know a man that does that. Doesn't say that. It says Christ died for the ungodly. Not that they claim that Christ died, but he only fainted for the ungodly. The Bible doesn't say he fainted for the ungodly. The Bible says the wages of sin is fainting. No, it's not. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the Lord Jesus took the consequences of our sin. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall... Doesn't say faint. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So the Bible attests to the fact of the resurrection. And people attack the resurrection, but the resurrection is true. We acknowledge it because you can see it in our lives. You know, if you're saved, you can see the difference in your life. A dead Saviour couldn't save me. A dead Saviour could never have changed the life I led. And a dead Saviour will never change your life. A dead Christ can't change the course of my life. He can't change the course of your life. But a living Saviour can. He can make all the difference in your life and mine. The history of the true church is proof that Jesus Christ is alive. The very fact that true Christianity, born again believers, though have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the very fact that they're still on this earth proves that he's alive. We sing, "He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Now, is he in your heart? Have you put your faith and trust in a living Saviour and accepted him into your heart and life? Is he living in your heart? Older person, young person? I'm sorry about that. It was a wee bit disjointed just because of the time. But listen, it's sincere. God wants you saved. And he's given you a further opportunity. I'm finished. You'll be glad of that. But he's extended this day of grace to another day. He's made another Sunday to give you an opportunity to get right with God. That's an astonishing thing. And I think I say it every time I come here. I think I say it everywhere I go. Because it amazes me so much that this Lord that we're speaking about, he knew you would be here this morning. Not only did he know you would be here, he knew where you would be sitting. And not only did he know where you were sitting, he knows what you're thinking. And he knew, before you came into this place, he knew before you were born what you would think and what you heard here this morning. How do I know that? Because the Bible says it. It said he knew me before I was conceived. Can you doubt him? And I mean it very sincerely, and I don't mean to be rude, but let me tell you this, I mean it for your good. You need to be saved. You can't sit under the sound of the gospel and listen that and hear that a Saviour died for you and took your sin in his own body and suffered all that you might be set free, that you might get to heaven. You know without me telling you. And I mean it really kindly, and I mean it from my heart. Don't leave this place apart from you say to yourself, Lord, thank you for dying for my sin. Lord, I know I need to be saved. I know I'm a sinner. Lord doesn't need to prove anything to us. But I know you will forgive me. And thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And the Lord will be there. You don't need to come for 25 weeks or 50 weeks to me tell you you're right. Just like that. You know what he said to a thief on the cross? I said I was finished 2 minutes ago, but I'm finished. You know what he said to a thief on the cross? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today, right now. He didn't say come for 6 weeks instructions and then. No, no. Today. You know what he said to him? He said, today thou shalt be. You'll be. I'm the living Saviour. You'll be. You'll go on. You won't be finished. You'll be. Now, if you want to be forever with the Lord, you get right with him. Easter's a happy time. I tell you something. God holds us accountable. This is a serious thing. Lovely to see the children know that they did, isn't it? You're saying to yourself, that's funny. Imagine Tommy coming up here and never even did anything. He's not even got in for us. Well, see, the last time I came to Paisley, Betty spent all my pension. And I kept last month because I knew I was coming to Paisley. So I think there's something for you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. Let's pray. Loving Father, we come into thy presence and we give thee thanks for a risen Saviour, one who is still able to save to the very uttermost all who will come unto thee by him. We thank thee again, Father, for everyone who has gathered. We thank thee for the children. We do commend them to thee. We pray, Father, that they will come to know the Lord Jesus as their own personal Saviour while they are yet young. For in these terrible dark days that we live in, these dangerous times, we know, our Father, that the only opportunity they have of a good life is to have a life with the Lord. We pray for parents who've come. We give thanks, Lord, and we do appreciate their coming. And we pray for the very fact that they've made themselves available to come will bring blessing upon them. Bless each one of them. Bless their families. And bless all of our families. And may it be each one will know the Lord Jesus as their own personal Saviour. We give thanks for Bethany Hall and all that they seek to do for thee here. Bless the dear ones who are here and who have a care for the children and who have a care for the older ones.
So we ask thy blessing upon each and every one. Part us with thy blessing this Easter morning, we pray, giving thanks again for the Lord Jesus, the one alone who is worthy. Amen.